kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Thankfully, three games to give away, only 9 emails.
It's gonna be so easy to pick winners.
Push these nuts. What's up, everyone? This is Joe, SML Podcast, episode number 209. Stockton, motherfucker. Nick Diaz. We need the Diaz brothers on this show.
Yo, that would be retarded.
Stockton slap, bitch.
That would be amazing. We'll do it.
So, I am your host, Joe. Chris is here.
Yep, I'm here. I'm our top.
No guest, because we have 4,000 fucking reviews
again. Too much shit to do.
Too much shit to do. So let's just kick right into things. PlayStation Plus games were announced, obviously, because it is now August. Go figure. We record on Tuesday last week, and then like Wednesday, the information came out.
Of course.
So.
Well, see, and now that's why we're totally not pre-recording this on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday.
And nothing big came out news-wise.
Yeah, of course. But, hey. You know, so, we're not going to know these things yet, so.
True. But anyway, decent to okay lineup, depending on the platform you're on. The PlayStation Vita is clearly the weakest, again, shocking
yeah, news. Right.
It got Ultratron, which is an interesting game, but nothing major. On the plus side, it's also for PS3 and PS4.
So, cross-play buy thing.
Yeah. And then Patapon 3, which is a good game, but it's another goddamn PSP game.
Yeah, I like Patapon, though. It's a good game.
But it's another PSP
game.
Dude,
what else are they going to give you?
Fucking anything. I don't know.
They don't have that many games to give.
There's a deceptively large number of Vita games that you can get.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Hell, I'm going to be reviewing a Vita game later this episode. So there's a new Vita game out.
A new Vita game.
PS3 has one good, one so-so. It has Retrograde, which is a shooter, which is a decent, enjoyable game, kind of old. And then Yakuza 5, which definitely a big hitter. Especially with Yakuza 6 coming out later, I think early next year or late this year, one of those.
I think it's early next year. I'm not entirely sure, actually.
Something like that. And then PS4, it's getting a lot of shit online for the two games, but I think they're pretty decent. The first one is Rebel Galaxy, which is like the space action shooter sim that we reviewed a number of months ago.
Okay.
And then Tricky Towers, which we reviewed last week on Steam. It's a free game for them.
Cool.
So I kind of wish I would have known that last week. It would have been a nice selling point for the game.
Well.
Because, free game, buy it.
You know now.
Indeed. So, yeah, we're going to amend our review of last week. Tricky Towers, if you have a PS4, clearly just get it because it's free.
So, there you go.
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's a decent lineup. I don't think it really holds a candle to Warriors Orochi 3 and WWE 2K16.
Yeah, I already downloaded Warriors onto my system. And then my system promptly crashed.
Nice. Nice.
That was nice.
Good stuff. What happened?
It just froze. Just completely froze. Dude, I barely use this thing. I think once I find out more about Project Scorpio, I may end up doing that, but I may upgrade to the other version, the S, just because you can kind of like, you can stand it up vertically, like it's capable of doing so. Because right now I have it set up, like, I have it horizontal laying on top of its box that it came in next to my computer desk. So at least the other one, I could stand up and just kind of like have it on the side, like next to my like computer tower or something like that, because I just incorporated it into my PC setup. So,
well, it's out now.
I know. There was some sort of promotion that was going on. I forget who was running it, but it was like, it was a pretty good deal for trading in your older system towards the new one.
GameStop, I think, is $150, maybe? I know Best Buy's $125.
That's horrible.
It's, you know, the systems are $249, brand new now.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. So it's almost like half.
And they just, especially with the S models out, the old ones are just going to drop in value.
How much is the S model? I forget.
It depends on what size you get. The 2 terabyte is the one that's out now. That's $399, but that also includes the vertical stand, so you won't have to worry about buying that separately. The 500 gig and 1 terabyte are out later this month. Those are going to be, I think, yeah, $299 and $349. Yeah. And then in October is the Gear system, and that's going to be $449.
See, I might just go with, like, the smaller system, because I still have, like, I have my 1 terabyte external. I have a 400 gig system now, and I still haven't filled it, technically. I mean, I have stuff that I can install and fill it if I wanted to, but I don't mind, like, reinstalling something when I want to go and play it, so.
Yeah. Plus, you could always just get an external.
Well, yeah, I have a 1 terabyte external, so I could just get another one. If I wanted, and just get a bigger one.
Like me with my 4 terabyte and then my 8 terabyte?
Yeah, exactly. I'll have a 1 terabyte and then I'll just jump right to 8.
Let's see. The August 23rd is the 500 gig and it's bundled with the Halo collection.
I already have it.
For $299. Or you could do the 1 terabyte, that's $349 with Madden 17.
I don't give a fuck about Madden. God damn it. Why can't they have a bundle of something I give a shit about? The bundle that I got was Assassin's
Creed. I'm not them.
It was Assassin's Creed Unity. Imagine how happy I was about that purchase.
Well, those are the only bundles that are out there. The 500 gig Halo collection, which is Master Chief collection and Halo 5. The 1 terabyte Madden, the 2 terabyte launch, and then the 2 terabyte Gears collection.
Are they digital codes or physical? Do you know?
I don't know. From what I hear, the Gears of War one, it's supposedly pre-installed on the system.
That's actually kind of cool.
Oh, Amazon is saying that the 500 gig one, Halo 5 Guardians, is a physical disc, and Master Chief collection is a card with a digital code.
I'm trying to remember which ones I have on disc. I think I have both of them on disc, though. I don't think I have them digitally.
No, you could get $4 to trade in Halo 5 on disc, and then you'll have Master Chief Collection digital.
Oh, yay.
So, rock on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well, I'll think about it. I will see. It's on my radar. It's on my radar. Well, that, and I need a new controller, too, because, like, I just keep getting more and more issues with this Elite controller. I'm just
like, what? Like
that stick drift again.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what the fuck? So
I got the same thing. Mine drifts upward.
I'm thinking about pulling the trigger on one of those like customized ones.
Oh, from the website for like $80.
Yeah, because I mean, like that's pretty cool. And it's only, like, marginally more than a regular controller. And at this point...
Plus, you get it to look how you want.
Right, and at this point, honestly, I feel like the build quality on the regular controllers are better than the Elites at this point.
I wish they would extend the warranty on the Elites because of stick drift, or at least update that accessories app so you can customize the dead zone on the controller.
That's kind of neat.
For such a premium priced item, they need to do something better than a 90-day warranty.
Yeah, that's pretty, that is pretty shitty. But, I mean... Yeah.
I mean, the controller itself is amazing to use.
I know.
Like, my batteries died on it, and I had to go back to, like, my Halo 5 controller, and I'm just like, this thing is dog shit.
I know.
Like, it's still a great controller, but compared to the Elite... I mean, fuck, then again, I have to review games on a PS4, and we all know my thoughts on a DualShock.
Oh, yeah.
So, jumping from the Elite to a DualShock, I just want to, like, stab myself.
Oh, my God, yeah. See, and that, every time, I didn't realize it, but when I came over and I played that game with you, because originally, when the PS4 came out, I felt the controller, and I'm like, ah, oh, man, I actually kind of like this. And then I came over and I played that game with you when I came to visit, and I was just like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, this thing sucks.
I told you, I've never been a fan of the DualShock. And, I mean, the DualShock 4 is definitely better than the old DualShocks. I'm not going to count it out completely. Yeah. I hate the fact that where the triggers are in the back, the plastic is sharp and digs into my finger. Like, I've taken a file to the plastic to file down that edge.
Oh, yeah.
So that it stops digging into my finger.
No, I'm
filing plastic on a $65 limited edition controller because I have the Batman one and I have the Uncharted controller. Those are my two controllers.
The Batman one's
sick. And I have to take a file to fucking saw down the edge so that I don't have it dig into my finger and physically hurt. Like, who the fuck put sharp edges on that plastic?
I don't know.
God, but terrible.
That's
the PlayStation Plus lineup.
Yeah, right. Basically, fuck PlayStation. I don't know.
A couple of new additions to the Xbox One backward compatibility lineup. Last week, we got Trigger Heart Excelica, which is a bullet hell style game, so it's good to see that one show up. And then this week, we just got Nintoo Jump, which is a ninja-style platformer from Cave, so maybe that will open up the doors for some of their bullet hell games to get ported over. And then two more Namco classics in New Rally X and Mr. Driller Online.
Mr. Driller Online.
Yep. And the best part is, like, I could have sworn I own Mr. Driller Online, but apparently I don't. I think when I played it before, it was when I had that Namco Virtual Museum.
Oh, okay.
On the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and I'm like, why don't I have this game anymore? Like, why did I get rid of this? So I went to GameStop, I picked it up for $18 or whatever it was, and brought it home, and... I know it worked for, like, Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. If you put it in your Xbox One, it would install those games.
Okay.
I got Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, New Rally X, and Mr. Driller Online.
Nice.
That's $30 worth of games.
That's for
$18.
That's pretty good.
Instead of buying them digital, I just got those five installed.
That's ridiculous.
So, I'll take it.
Sure.
Good stuff. Good. So, yeah, I'm happy about that. Let's see. Fireforge Games, the developers of the new Ghostbusters game. Did you hear about them?
No.
Filed for bankruptcy 3 days after the game launched.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Apparently, a big reason the game was so shitty is that they were given 8 months to develop and release the game.
That's not long at all.
No, not at all. So yeah, Fireforge Games, their legacy will be that of Ghostbusters, just kind of blown up in their face. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't played it myself. I was hoping I could get my hands on it because I've heard a lot of negative about it. And you know, we like to be, you know, more fair to games that have bad reputations on our show.
Sure.
But, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll still get the chance, but given the critical reception, I don't think they're going to do much to damage control the game anymore.
Yeah, probably. It's like, hey, here, do this review of this clearly not doing so well game.
Surprisingly,
hopefully you'll tell us something that we don't know.
Well, I'm going to be reviewing two games that are kind of getting a bad reputation right now. The Marvel Ultimate Alliance bundle.
Oh, you got that?
That's kind. Yeah, I just got it earlier this week.
That's crazy.
It should be a part of the show next week. it's been getting ragged on a lot because I know the PC version was a mess, but they pushed out a patch for it, and the pricing has been derided pretty hard, which I think that's still going to be one of my biggest issues when I do the review. But hey, I'm going to play the games. I'm going to be fair to them. I'm going to call it like it is. And, you know, however it turns out, because back on the 360, they're still fucking fun games. And that's, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we shall
see. Yeah, that'll be next week or the week after. But, you know, they're working hard to fix the reputation of the Ultimate Alliance games. I'm assuming because of the Marvel relationship and the potential of a new Ultimate Alliance game, if this does well.
I mean, a new Ultimate Alliance game would be wonderful, and I'm sure it would do really, really well if they led into it properly. Like, releasing these as remastered versions and charging as much as they're charging for them and not really, like, really giving them a ton of attention to detail of really making it as great as it could have been. I don't think it's going to be received well overall, and I'm not surprised. But if they can pull their heads out of their asses and realize that a newer Ultimate Alliance, if done properly, would probably do really, really well, then, you know, hopefully they'll go that route regardless.
Well, at least they're making steps in the right direction. With the patches on the PC, they're working to solve the PC issues. And then they confirm that the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 DLC will be coming for free.
Well, that's good.
Yes. So, you know, baby steps. Baby steps. Yeah. But I'll get my hands on the games later this week, talk about them next week on the show or the week after. Gotta make sure I put enough time into them. But speaking of dumpster fire type disasters, the Pokemon Go was updated to quote unquote fix the 3-step bug. I'm sure you know about this, right?
Only some. I've only been like keeping up. Like, everybody's just been really, really pissed at some of the updates that they've been doing recently, where I think it's just sensationalized a little bit. Like, these kind of apps are going to go through a ton of changes over time. So I'm not surprised in some of the changes that they're making. And quite frankly, I don't care. I'm going to play it anyway. So,
well, their fix to the 3-step bug was to just completely remove the steps.
Yeah. For now.
That's not a fucking fix. And there's people who are pissed off that they just completely remove the steps, and they're like demanding refunds for in-app purchases.
Yeah, it's not going well.
Yeah, it and the thing is, it worked fine until one of their updates fucked it up, and their fix is to not, you know, undo what they damaged. It's to just remove it completely. That's kind of shitty.
Well, I mean, we know just from talking with a bunch of different developers, as far as games are concerned, you change one thing and you might not know how to fix it back.
True.
So they might not have been able to go backwards and go like, whoops, all right, undo. Like, they could have just been like, the damage is done. What the fuck? Like,
I think it doesn't help that they also went out and pretty much got all these independent sites that were keeping track of Pokemon locations to shut down.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, all those Pokemon trackers, they forced them to shut down.
Here's the thing. If that was supposed to be part of the gameplay experience, then they would have attempted to include it, or they'll include it themselves later on down the road. I can understand companies like that. That is essentially going against the terms of agreement of playing the game. Blizzard is always known for this kind of stuff recently as well, because they like to put the ban hammer down on a lot of people that will put out, you know, certain assistance for their games and stuff like that. And it's no different with one of those types of things, because it's giving people an advantage that know about it and that go outside of the app to take advantage. I'm not against it. I'm really not, because I'm looking at it from the perspective of, you know, they have a vision for this game. It is their game to do with it what they will. It's other people's opinions of if they're going in the right direction or not. But when it really comes down to it, it's the developers, it's their decision to dictate how this plays out. And if those things, if they feel that it goes against terms of service, then they have every right to shut them down. That's just my opinion. Like,
now, hopefully their decisions don't end up pushing more players away than, you know, people are apparently dropping it fairly quick anymore.
Oh, sure.
But again, Windows Phone, so I don't know.
You haven't been able to play it at all, really, right?
No, haven't even tried downloading it on my iPad, because what's the point?
Yeah, I understand. Well, I mean, like, I don't really travel that often. And when I do travel, I don't remember.
Really?
I don't remember to play it while I'm...
You don't travel that often, except every fucking week.
Listen, I'm in a car, okay? I'm in a car, so when you're in a car, you can't play this game. And I'm in the car the entire time, so I'll show up to the place that we're playing, and then I immediately go into load in, do all my work, da 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 da. I may have 2 minutes to play it if I remember, which the majority of time I won't, because I'm in work mode. And then when I'm when I'm back home, I'm in so much pain from playing that I'm not going to walk to the park. Like, it's not going to happen. So for now, I'm enjoying just sitting in my room and catching Pidgeys and Rattatas every day. Because I know that once I'm in a better position to do so, I will play the game more. And maybe by that time, the game will be more developed and, you know, a little more stable and focused. And I'll be able to fully enjoy the experience, as opposed to everybody just complaining because it just fucking came out. Like, let's be honest. All of the stuff that they're attempting to try and fix and change right now is the stuff that they would have loved to have been working on for the past couple weeks, but they couldn't because they were trying to fix their burning servers. Like, that is absolutely what happened to this game. Like...
Their servers are like that, the this is fine.
Exactly,
dog.
Exactly.
Which, did you see there's a plush for that on Kickstarter?
I did, and I want it.
I can't believe it. And not only, it still has 29 days to go, and it's already double its goal.
That's fantastic.
It's at $76,000.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
$25 for just the dog. $35 for one plush with a play pack that includes a fold up house stand, stickers, and a magnet. $65 for two plushies. $140 for five plushies. $275 for 10 plushies.
Why the hell would you need 10 of them?
I don't know. For fucking friends? 5 people bought the 10 plushie bundle.
Oh, fuck. Of course they did.
15 bought the 5 plushie.
I guess they're Christmas shopping really, really early.
I guess so.
Crunchcast.
Crunchcast. Yeah, I might have to back that one. It'll go with the Maze Dude Kickstarter I just backed as well.
What do you say? A Kickstarter from Maze Dude? Well, what's it about?
Yes. I don't think it's even worth mentioning, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be over by the time this episode is released.
Well, never mind then.
Yeah, so if you didn't back Maze Dude's Kickstarter...
You fucked up.
...that we talked about on the last couple episodes, including the episode he did an interview with us... Yeah. Yeah, like Chris said, you fucked up.
You fucked up.
Last bit of news I have is it's a new month, which means a new rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard any of this stuff?
Yeah. That was underwhelming.
This week, everybody's favorite, Rape Song, Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
Rape Song?
The rapey lyrics.
Rape Song?
Yeah. Second favorite behind Nirvana's Rapey.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, Blurred Lines from Robin Thicke, and then Counting Crows, Mr. Jones, which
I play it every week.
Guilty pleasure. I'll grab that. Artists for the month. There is a lot of anger going out at the fact that Nicki Minaj is coming to Rockin'.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, it's probably going to be one of the best-selling songs in the game. People shit talk all the pop that comes to Rock Band, and it's consistently the best-selling stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, unfortunately. Do you want to know why, probably? Yep. It's the naggy girlfriends that go, but I like that song. You want to get that song. I know that one.
One Direction. Oh, my God.
Yeah, probably.
I'm not going to lie. I've bought everything since Rock Band 4 came out, and that includes Bieber and One Direction. So I'm probably going to buy Nicki Minaj, too.
That's because you have a problem.
Come at me,
bro. Come at me, bro. I understand.
In addition to Nicki Minaj, we are getting more from the Barbizons. If you remember, they're the band that had that free song with that one app that you would like sign up for like a gay dating app.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, free song's a free song. Right. So I don't know if this is going to be that song no longer tied to the promotion and for sale, or if it's going to be a new song from them. I'm not sure. We'll find out later this month. There's also Winger, Jason Mraz, Belinda Carlisle, Heart, and then the two I'm excited for, Tonic and Vertical Horizon. Get my fucking 90s on.
Ooh.
Ooh. She's everything you want. So yeah, that's all the news I got. Not sure if you have anything.
Negative. Actually, Overwatch. Overwatch did a patch, and it released the Summer Games patch. So basically, it's a bunch of skins that are like Olympic themed. It's not official. Like, it's not actually promoting the Olympics, but you could fucking tell it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
And for the Tavern Brawl-esque gameplay thing that they're doing for this next week, it's like Rocket League with Lucios.
Oh,
so it's literally, it's 3v3. And you're in this stadium with a football, or well, a soccer ball. And you have your boost. You're always on speed. You're never on heal. You're not doing any damage. You're not actually, like, hurting the other team. So you're literally just running around, speed boosting, and then, like, using the blast thing and your ultimate to, like, try and hit the ball into the other person's goal. It's awesome. It's great. And some of the skins,
nice.
Some of the skins and stuff that they, that are released into these loot boxes, they're fucking awesome. Like there's a McCree USA skin that I really, really need. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, it's awesome. I need it.
So how much are you going to spend on these loot boxes?
None. I'm going to play the game and unlock them naturally.
Nice.
Because I've given them enough of my money. Blizzard pretty much gets all of my PC gaming money. So
true. Between Overwatch and Debear Blubber.
Yeah. And Hearthstone.
True. So, I think it's been a while since we've done this, but we got some games to give away.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that.
All right. We have three games to give away. We have Riptide GP Renegade, which we did our interview last week. We have Action News Heroes, which we did our review last week. And then we have Wind Up Night 2, which we did our review last week.
How about that?
And now we have codes to give away. So let us start with Action News Heroes for the Xbox 360. We have, let me double check here. I believe, yep, two codes. We have two codes and three entries.
So we just have to pick one person that doesn't get it.
Yes, one person who loses. First up is Billy P, who says, I like action, I like news, I like heroes. All this in one game, I don't know if I can handle it. Only one way to find out. I'll have to win this giveaway.
And that was Billy P?
Yes, Billy P.
Got it.
Handle. Oh, no, my pen. Okay, handle.
You don't type that?
Yeah, I actually write shit down. It's weird.
You're sitting at a computer.
I know. Dude, I have 17 programs running. If I try typing things, it might explode.
You need a new computer. Desperate ways.
Yeah, I do. Next email is from Daniel N., who says, looks like a fun top-down shooter, and I can't wait to obliterate my enemies with violent soul-crushing attacks. Soul-crushing.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. And our final entry is from NikkiBaby19. That sounds familiar.
Our giant winner of all of the loot.
Yeah, I actually mailed out the box today. $20 to ship it.
Woo! Jesus.
So I can't wait for her to get her package. And hopefully model off the hat and the shirt and the Pip-Boy and everything else for us. Nice. But she says, I want to win because I love Xbox One games and I am a big giant whore for achievements. That would have been funny if the mic just cut out before the four achievements.
I'm a big giant whore.
I'm also in a party with a friend who is cursing at the game, and I would love to see what is so bad about it. I don't expect you to pick me, though, because I already won a ton of lovely stuff from you, so I guess I will just say hi, and I've listened to a few more episodes, enjoying the reviews, and thanks again for everything. Heart. Aww.
He's pandering.
Pander. So, two codes, three people. We have Billy, who doesn't know if he can handle action, news, and heroes. Daniel N., who wants soul-crushing violence. And Nikki, who is pandering to us.
Well, do you have a three-sided die?
I do like Billy's, so I'm going to give Billy the nod there.
I'm down with whatever you choose.
Do you have a coin?
I have a guitar pick. There's two sides. There's one that says the Benders, and then there's another side that says Steven Turner. So,
okay, Benders is Nikki, Steven Turner is Daniel.
It landed on Steven Turner.
So Daniel N. wins.
I like our method of figuring out who wins.
Indeed. Sorry, Nikki. You'll have to make do with the other 70 games you won from us.
Yeah, right.
Next up is for Wind Up Night 2 for the 3DS, and we have two entries. The first one is from Daniel N. again, who says, my 3DS has been collecting dust, and Wind Up Night 2 looks like a fun, good reason to dust it off. So, dust. And then the second one is from our good friend Zach Lyons, who says, hey, I saw you guys have a 3DS contest coming up. I'll be honest, I don't think I heard of Wind Up Night before, but after checking it out, it looks like a bunch of fun. I'm traveling right now, so using my 3DS for basically all of my gaming for the next week or two, so a new game to play would be great for the 13-hour flight home.
Yeah, let's just give it to Zach.
Yeah. 13-hour flight, yeah.
Let's give it to Zach.
Yeah, you got that one, Zach. And the final contest is for Riptide GP. We have four entries for this, four official entries, but I do want to take a second because we have a fifth email from this.
Okay.
I am going to leave out the names because I'm not going to be that big of a dick about this. Okay. But it says, hello, I am name from website. I make videos for the team and I'm also the head of content creation. I saw your tweet regarding the giveaway for the US code of Riptide Renegade. So the main reason why our team would like to have another code is clear cut simple. Although we made videos about the game and also a review video is in the making, the only plea I have is that if I could possibly include a giveaway code in my video, that would really add life to my video and also promote the game as well. I hope our intentions are positive and hope that we win the giveaway and plan and play an active role in promoting the awesome game like Riptide, although Vector Unit is our personal favorite. We also love to share about their game too. First off, like, broken English throughout the whole thing. Second off, we do our giveaways to reward people who want to play a fucking game, not to give to someone to give away on their own fucking channel.
Yeah, right? Dude, that's ballsy. The fact that he even said, like, yo, I intend to give this away, like, That's ballsy.
So I'm not going to be an asshole and, you know, call out who these guys are, but if they ever enter another contest of ours again, I absolutely will call out who they are.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's a dickish thing to do. If you want to enter our contest for free games,
they're cool. For you.
They're for you. They're not for you.
Or a friend. If you want to give it to a friend, That's fine too.
Yeah, like Nikki, she gave a bunch of her codes to friends. She actually turned a couple of us of codes back to us so that we could give out to other people. That's cool. Yeah, we're like, down with that.
Point. But
if you're going to host your own giveaway for our giveaway code, fuck you.
Don't do that.
So now three people who do want to enter, hopefully. Tsukase Moyoka 789. Oh my god, I can't do that name. I've just been playing all of Vector Unit's games from Hydro Thunder GP all the way up to Riptide GP2, or Hydro Thunder Hurricane, not GP. What the fuck am I saying? I can't wait to get my hands on Renegade. I was going to wait until it comes out for Xbox One, yet it seems that PS4 and PC are getting first dibs, and I'm constantly seeing reviews and gameplay of this totally rad game, and I just can't wait no longer. I need this game. See, that's the enthusiasm we like. Like, I need this game, and I just can't wait no longer, despite the improper English, double negative, all caps. That is enthusiasm.
All caps.
I appreciate that enthusiasm. Let's see. Next up is Izzy Earthchild. Hello, my name is Izzy Earthchild, and yesterday was my 20th birthday. I love Riptide, and I've been waiting forever for the new game. Super excited for it. Winning it would be the most awesome birthday gift. Vector Unit rocks, and I even have a t-shirt from them attached or photos. Riptide is definitely the coolest racing game, and glad to see the people giving it attention. And yeah, that is definitely a Riptide GP shirt.
How many codes do we have?
Two.
Okay, good to know.
Two codes. Next up, Taylor Bose. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Hello, I'm writing to enter the Riptide Renegade giveaway. My wife and I are huge fans of Riptide and love playing it together. Her birthday is coming up soon, and it would be amazing if I could surprise her with a copy of the new game. Thank you. I wonder if those two are married. How funny would
that would be funny. That'd be hysterical, actually. It's like, hey, we were...
Like, the wife wrote us... Izzy, the wife, wrote us, and then Taylor, the husband, wrote us for... I don't know if they are married. That'd be funny.
That would be funny.
They don't have the same last name.
It would be funnier. It would be funnier if we gave both of them codes, and then they found out that secretly they were trying to get the code themselves.
Again, I don't know if Izzy Earthchild is the real name.
Exactly.
Something sounds funny.
That's there. Funny.
And then the final emails from Daniel N. once again, who says, SSX meets Jet Moto. This game was made for adrenaline junkies, and I have NOS running through my veins.
That's funny. I can appreciate that.
So, we have Tsukase, Izzy, Taylor, and Daniel. I kind of like Izzy on this one, since she sent in pictures
of her
wearing the shirt. That is fandom.
Yep. I can appreciate that.
And then, do you have any thoughts on this?
Do you
like the caps lock excitement of Tsukase? Or the NOS running through the veins of Daniel?
I thought the NOS running through the veins is funny. Or the husband for the birthday. All about the birthdays. I kind of want to do the birthdays. I don't know. I'm like
the
tossed.
Two,
I'm
the
tossed
two
up.
Birthdays.
I'm tossed up between NOS running through my veins. I thought that was clever.
I do like that one. But Daniel did already win one of the games this
week.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to be unbiased.
So I kind of want to re. I know. True. I'm kind of torn between the excitement and the birthday.
Double birthday.
Double birthday.
Let's do double birthday.
So, Izzy and Taylor, you're the two winners.
I'm fine with that.
All right. So, congrats to everyone who won codes. Apologies to those who didn't. And fuck you to those guys who tried getting our code to give away.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? That's ridiculous.
You piece of shit. I mean, come on.
That's so weird. Like, who does that?
What the fuck?
So weird.
Man, that's... Oh, God. So shitty. So shitty. But I think it is time to dive into our reviews of the week.
Let's do it.
All right. First up is two games we should have covered last week, but we're stupid. Uh-huh. So number one is called Dungeon Punks, developed and published by Hyper Awesome Entertainment, released July 26th for $14.99. This is a side-scrolling beat-em-up with RPG elements and kind of not an open-ended dungeon, but like branching paths.
Okay.
So it's all grid-based. You start in one area, and then you have to make your way to the boss. And the first time you're there, the map isn't revealed, so you're just kind of like picking directions and left, right, up, or down, and hoping that you make your way there. Very similar in style to like Final Fight.
Okay.
Fight-wise. With the added benefit of RPG like leveling and equipment, which is a fun, cool twist. And it's not just leveling that powers you up, just using characters and fighting with them. Like, if you can't make it to the end of the stage, there are exits through the level that you can, you know, save your ass and get out of there.
Oh, to kind of like XP dump. That's cool.
Yeah. And even if you don't get a full level up, just using your characters will boost your stats. So after every time, your hit points will go up, your strength will go up, your defense will go up, and your energy will go up for your special attacks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you don't need to just, like, level up to get stronger. You just get stronger as you play. There are six different characters in the game. It has a tag team style to it, where there will always be three people, as long as you've earned at least three people. You can hit the B button to swap out to an alternate.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, if one of your characters gets trapped, like, there's some enemies that could, like, trap them, hit the B button, tag in, free them, and it kind of gives you, like, two lives, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they each have their own distinct health bar and energy bar. So you can use one guy, and then, you know, once all his special attacks are gone, you could swap out, use the other guy who's built up energy, use those special attacks. The two other characters are controlled by the computer. You can use the bumpers to switch between them as well. And then if they have alternates, because you can eventually unlock all six people, you can use the B button to swap them as well. So, at one time, you can use all six people in one stage as long as you're hitting the bumpers, jumping between them, and swapping them.
Yeah, oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is a pretty awesome game. There are side quests in the levels that you can do for extra experience. I have been grinding like a motherfucker because it's just fun to grind, although the birds on the one stage were kind of dickheads. Mm-hmm. Storyline wise, you are basically, it's basically you fucking up constantly.
Okay.
Like you gotta go rescue someone and kill an enemy, but you end up like killing the wrong person who's like a beloved person or like a pet. It's like, oh no, this beast is attacking, and you kill what you think is the beast, and instead it's like their family pet. So to make up for it, like you have to go after someone else. And there's like some kind of fire attack, and instead of killing the one guy, you accidentally kill some. You are just constantly fucking up story wise, and it's hilarious to get to the end of a chapter and see how you fucked up this. It's basically you fucked up the video game.
Hey, you know, sometimes it's maybe that's just more realistic, right?
Yeah. The game is awesome. The local co-op is, you know, if you have buddies to play this with, it makes it even more fun. But even solo, it's a blast. For $15, I am giving it a buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome job with Dungeon Punks. Love that one. Next game, Dungeons & Dragons Sword Coast Legends, developed and published by Digital Extremes, released July 19th for $19.99. We played this one together for a bit. Do you want to give your thoughts first?
Let me hear what you have to say first, since you probably have like more organized thoughts.
Organized. You're hilarious.
Well, I've seen your lists.
Yeah, my list is just name, developed and published by, release date, and price.
Oh, well, fooey.
All right. Well, it is a top-down action RPG, mm-hmm. kind of like an open-world RPG style in the vein of Diablo-ish action.
Visually, yes.
And, let's see, it's... I don't know how much of the story I could really get into because it's kind of a convoluted. So you're part of a caravan who are under attack.
Well, let me preface with this. There are multiple storylines and the game is set up to be kind of like an engine, so to speak, because you can create your own campaigns and play through them. It's based off of the D&D system. So you can technically dungeon master an entire campaign, set it up through this game, and have other people join it online and kind of play it as such, but a more action version, which you can swap in and out of this action-based real-time combat mode into a more turn-based, like, all right, select this person, he's going to do this attack onto this person, and then this person is going to go and do this thing and methodically kind of like plan it all out.
It's like the tactical mode in the Dragon Age games.
Yeah, pretty much.
How you can pause the action, dictate who you want to do what. I personally played it kind of just like a hack and slash, like you constantly have companions with you.
Yeah.
And one of mine was a healer, so I'm just like, all right, you heal me. I'm just gonna
go wreck shit. Yeah.
So I had like the cleric, the wizard to do distance damage, and I think the rogue to kind of just pelt dudes with fucking arrows while I ran up close and just hacked the shit out of things. The game is fairly difficult. Like it's not a hard game. It's just the enemies hit you hard.
Yeah, they're fucking ruthless.
So you can be at full health doing well, and then out of nowhere, you're dead.
Yeah. They don't fuck
around. Which, you know, there's other characters that you could swap to, and you can bring yourself back. So it's not that big. It's more of a nuisance than anything.
Yeah.
A lot of different quests to do. A fairly open-ended gameplay where you show up in an area and then just explore, do quests, do what you want to do. It's just kind of like Divinity 2, but with an action battle system instead of turn-based.
But you can kind of swap to the tactical.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting concept, but it was just, there was so much stuff going on that if I really was going to go in depth and do every individual attack, dude, that game would take me for fucking ever.
Well, it's there for the people who want to do
that. Right.
For the people who like to micro.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of, you know, I wanted to play it more as a an action, just kind of hack and slash Diablo-esque type of thing, because play something like Diablo, who'd have thunk?
I appreciate that there's the story mode, and then there's also the DM mode, which is a cool addition to the game. I love the fact that it has online, so you could partner up with friends instead of just being a local co-op thing. I do have one fairly huge gripe with the game.
And that is?
I think you know what it is.
And that is?
Loading times.
It's fucking loading times. All right, so I have a feeling it has to do with the engine, because they had this set up so that you can do whatever the fuck you want and make your own campaign. You have to imagine that the engine is fairly convoluted.
Yeah.
So in that, even when you're loading anything, and I do mean anything, Even like the character, like you're going to make your first character. When you go to open up that screen to get to the character customization, it's going to take you like 30 seconds or 30 or 40 seconds.
Yeah. Loading into a game takes multiple minutes.
Yes. So,
like, part of me is kind of curious to fire up the game right now and load it and just see how long it takes.
It felt like an eternity. Like, it was bad. However, the game is very in depth and it is presented very, very well. Yeah. I don't think. I will say that the loading times took me out of the experience a little bit, because every time it loaded, it made me lose momentum of wanting to be in invested into it. You know what I mean?
I know. When we played online and we finished an area and we had to go into that cave and it started loading, you're like, oh my God, of course it has to fucking load again.
Dude, I was really frustrated with the loading times.
Yeah, I absolutely love and adore this game. There is a lot to do. It is a lot of fun. And normally I would give this game a buy it, but with the loading times, it drops it to a try.
I have to agree.
It's such an, I hope that they can patch it and optimize it, because I really do love this game. Dude, there's so much to do.
Shit ton of potential. Like I said, I cannot stress this enough. You can make your own campaigns. That essentially makes it so that this game never fucking ends. Like, yeah. You can play this game forever.
And they even have, like, a dungeon run where if you just randomly have generated some time to kill, you could just load up a level and fucking just do a couple dungeon runs and then move on.
So there is,
and your progress and character carries over between.
Yes, there is infinite replayability. Infinite. It's cool. I dig it.
Just the loading. Oh my God.
If they fixed the loading times, this would immediately go right up to a buy it. Immediately.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping that they patch it, or who knows, maybe even bring new content in the future. As it stands, I gotta stick with a try it. For the price, for only $20, the amount of content in the game is absolutely worth it. But God damn those loading times.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stress it enough. This game is really, really good, but
I just hit start game.
Yeah, the loading times.
So,
but the loading times are strenuous enough that it will take you out of your momentum into the game, and you'll want to play something else. Currently, that was the feeling that I had. Because every time I would hit one of those loading screens and it would take a relatively long time for it to load up, I was just thinking about how much more fun I could be having with a game that doesn't take this long to load. Like, that was literally the only thing that was running through my head. Because when I sit down to play a game, I don't have a shit ton of time that often anymore. So I want to make sure that, like, I kind of get my games in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I was furious. It was bad.
And if Digital Extremes, if you're listening to this, don't take what we're saying wrong. We love this game.
It's awesome.
Just please find a way to optimize it. Please. I'm begging.
Yeah, please.
Cause it is such a good, I literally started up a game, I unlocked the door for Ashley to come home. I went in the kitchen. I got plates and ketchup because she was bringing breakfast. I came back into the living room. I put everything down, went to my desk, checked an email, went back over to the couch, sat down, and it just loaded up the game.
Yeah.
That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
By the way, it is still loading from when I hit start.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. I'm already done with the conversation. Like,
I know. I'm like drawing this out. We're coming up on 2 minutes here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we've been extending that. This is how you'll feel when you play the game, where you're just like, come on, get to the point.
Well, and this is what was going on when we were playing online together, because we were in a party. So we're just like sitting there trying to bullshit with each other to keep ourselves entertained while the loading time was happening.
So, what kind of character are you going to play?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I
have swords.
Swordy guy version 2.0.
Swordy guy. Goddamn.
Version 2.0.
Yes. I think I switched over to bow and arrow when we were playing, though, just so you could get some.
Oh, I dude, there
upfront
was
physical. Yeah.
There was plenty of people to go around. It worked out fine.
Remember when we went into the spider cave?
Yeah, yeah. Are you still just drawing it out? Like,
I hear audio from the game, but it's still on the loading screen.
Okay.
We are in the game.
Okay.
3 minutes, nearly.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about.
That was not an exaggeration. I don't know if the microphone picked up the TV, but holy shit. Yeah,
that was.
If you could deal with that loading time, it is an absolute buy.
Yeah.
Because the game is
it's a really good game.
Oh, man. You have an email from Uneaten Lake, who was our go-to guy to cover Zombie Night Terror for Steam. This was developed by NoClip, published by Gambitious Digital Entertainment. It released July 20th on Steam for $12.99. And there's also a special edition with the soundtrack for $17.99.
Cool. I think that also gives you wallpapers, right? As well?
Something like that. I don't know.
So up at the top, Uneaten Lake says, TLDR, Lemmings is attacked by Night of the Living Dead. Buy it. So...
I think we need something a little more in depth.
So let me explain. This game plays and feels a lot like the classic Lemmings game, but instead of trying to save your lemmings and get them to a portal to end the level, you're basically tasked with trying to infect / kill as many as possible.
Oh God!
So ZNT's graphics are your standard pixel art that you'll find in a lot of smaller indie titles. That being said, I love the look of the backgrounds and character animations. The pixel gore is great as well. Most of the game is black and white, with the exception of blood, zombie modifiers, and the TV segments that you can click on. In the limited time that I had to prepare this review, I got about a fourth of the way through the game. The game has 40 levels spread out through four different chapters. A lot of the starting levels are somewhat easy to finish, though. If you want to get all of the challenges, you're in for a few playthroughs. Some of the challenges will have you looking for secret rooms, killing specific humans, or even completing a level within a certain time. I had a difficult time trying to finish one of the speedrunning style levels, but most of the time I was able to complete a level in one or two tries. Each level will task you with an end goal as well as a challenge. On top of that, you have limited resources to build your zombie horn. Some levels you will get just a syringe that you have to use to turn a normal human into a zombie. Other times you'll end up with zombies already roaming the map and have a handful of modifiers to change those normal zombies into special ones. Some of the modifiers include change of direction, speed increase, jumping, throwing, exploding, and others. Change of direction modifier will make your zombies go in a direction that you want them to go in. At times, this will speed up the path that your zombies will slowly walk. At other times, they will be necessary to keep zombies from falling off of cliffs and such. The presentation is great. And each chapter has its own story sequence, as well as having breaking news segments from April Fox, who tells you what different modifiers do to different people and zombies. The game is a blast, and I'm glad I was able to review this game. It wasn't on my radar until SML told me about it. I would recommend the game to anyone who likes puzzle games, and if you like lemming-style games, it is a must-buy.
Sounds good. Looking at screenshots of it, and it looks fucking insane.
Yeah, it does look pretty crazy.
Looks pretty ridiculous. So I might have to pick that one up myself, and you know my thoughts on many Steam games.
What was that?
I said you know my thoughts on many Steam games.
Well, you know, it all depends.
I mean, I sit at this desk enough doing these fucking episodes. My ass hurts in this chair. I need a new chair.
I think I need to get a new one too, actually. I think.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Abzu, developed by Giant Squid, published by 505 Games. It released August 2nd for $19.99 on the PS4 and I believe Steam as well. It did have a pre-order option for like $15.99, but that's over now because it's out. So you can't pre-order it.
It's available now.
That's how pre-orders work.
You have to pre-order it. That's
If you can go back in time and pre-order this, you can get it for $15.99. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't, it's $20.
So from what I've seen from this game...
We'll start off by saying this is from the art director behind Journey.
Yeah.
So we'll get this out of the way. The game is ridiculously beautiful.
Yes. I agree.
Like, ridiculously beautiful. I originally, like, the first trailers and everything I saw of the game, I thought... I didn't pay too much attention about it. I thought it had a more realistic art style to it, but once I got into the game, I noticed it's a lot more animated than I expected, and it works beautifully. Like Journey, the game starts off, basically you just start. It's like, here you're in an ocean, go. Where Journey, it's like, here you're in a desert,
go.
With this, you start swimming, you start exploring, you start finding different aquatic sea life and just exploring the ocean and just enjoying the sights. There's even special statues in the game that allow you to meditate on them, mm-hmm. where you'll sit on the statue and it'll just go to a fish and follow it. And then you can hit the analog stick and it'll move to another fish and you can just follow that one and you can just sit and watch. And I did that a number of times because it is just so
beautiful,
fucking beautiful to watch.
Yeah, it's a really good looking game.
There is story to it, but I do not want to get into it because it is not a very long game. You can get through it in... I'd say 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like exploring a lot as well. It's a lot like Journey where it's not a long game, but you're going to come back to it and just experience it every now and then. It's not like it's a hyper replayable game with branching storylines and stuff. It's just something that you'll want to sit down, relax, and experience again and just play through again. Like people, they'll sit down, you know, every other month and just play through Journey again and just relax and zen out and explore, man. The story, like, the only thing I'll say about the story is technology interacts with the ocean in ways that you eventually explore and confront. If that's vague enough.
Sounds vague enough.
The main gameplay, though, it's just swimming through the ocean and exploring. I don't know. What do you have to say about it?
Because I don't know. It kind of looks like Echo the Dolphin, but like way prettier and more interesting. Honestly, that's like when I looked at it, I was just like, oh, wow, this is just a way crazier like person as Echo the Dolphin.
I wish I played the Echo games as a kid. I was a Super Nintendo guy. Oh,
so. Okay. Well... If you played Echo the Dolphin...
I wasn't a Sega Genesis pleb.
Listen, I had both. I played both.
Oh, Mr. Moneybags over here.
Well, I didn't own both. My grandmother owned the Super Nintendo. I owned the Genesis. So I went over and played her Super Nintendo whenever I wanted.
Nice.
That's how that worked.
Nice. Nice. Good stuff. Yeah, the game, it's just, it is an experience. It is one of those games where it's, you're not competing for a high score. Sure, there's a handful of quote unquote collectibles, like there's hidden shells that you can find in the game that I amazingly didn't find all of them. I don't know where I went wrong. There are different, like, little beds on the bottom of the floor, the ocean floor that you can interact with, and they'll release new sea life into the game, like different types of fish. There are also a handful of those meditation statues I talked about where, amazingly, I missed three of them, and I don't know fucking how. Like, I thought I was thorough with the game, but I clearly still miss some stuff. There's hidden areas that you can go to if you have the time to explore. There was like an Arctic area that I missed out on that, again, I don't know where I missed it, but I'm going to go back and fucking find that thing because I want to see some penguins.
I want to see some penguins.
And just the first time that you are swimming with whales, it's cool. It is just...
It's a cool experience.
Amazing to experience.
So what do you, you're
$20. The price seems kind of steep for only 2 hours of gameplay, but I'm still giving it a buy it.
Cause it's fucking gorgeous.
Just because it is that goddamn good and that enjoy it. Like,
that's cool.
I thought I was going to sit down and just like, I'm tired. Let me try this Abzu game for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. 2 hours later, watching the credits roll.
Wow.
I did it in one sitting. It was just incredible to play, and I did not want to stop.
That's cool.
I didn't get off the couch. I didn't grab a drink. I didn't pee. I sat and I played start to finish.
That's...
And I didn't expect...
Wow. Well, that's saying something.
So, yeah. $20, I'm still giving it a buy it.
Cool.
If you never got into games like Journey or Flower or Flow, you're not going to get into this one, but...
Echo the Dolphin.
Giant Squid 505, if you're listening, bring this fucking game to Xbox so I could buy it and play it and do it all again. Oh, it's such a good game. It's criminal that it's exclusive to a system.
It's on Steam, though.
Yeah, that's why I said a system. Next up is called Quatros Origins, developed and published by God as a Cucumber. Yes, that is the studio name. Released July 29th for $4.99. This is Tetris with a twist.
Oh my god. I hate you.
It's basically Tetris, but every time you drop a piece, the game field rotates.
So think it's 3D Tetris.
It's 3D Tetris, but it's still on 2D a 2D plane. So if you clear lines, it clears them from all four sides.
That's so weird. This game is fucking weird, but it looks awesome.
The game is fucking weird and really, really, really cool. I thought it was going to take me a while to get like fully adjusted to how the game works. And my biggest issue with getting acclimated with the game was the controls. This game does not have your standard Tetris controls of, you know, hit up to drop the piece, hit A and B to rotate it. And I traded emails with the guy, and he said that he is working on adding a patch to add customizable controls, which I would love, because as it stands, you rotate the piece with the bumpers.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not. Because, well, like, when you're trying to act fast, when things speed up, hitting the bumpers fast enough to get it how you need it positioned... It's not good. And normally you're used to hitting up to fast drop it, you know, to just shoot it to the bottom. With this, you hit A.
Oh, that's okay.
And if you hit up, it rotates it.
All right. But it could take some getting used to, but I see where they're going with it.
You can get used to it, but for you casual players, for you Tetris plebs. For you little piddly casual Tetris gamers.
It is true. You're probably the most intense Tetris player that I know.
I told the guy in the email, like, I take Tetris seriously, and when I emailed him back, because I got my 1,000 out of 1,000 in like 3 hours. I demolished the game on the world leaderboard. I got rank number 6.
That's funny.
I only did the marathon mode like twice.
I was gonna say, what, like 3 times?
I think that was my second attempt, was I got rank number 6.
That's hysterical.
There are a handful of different modes. There's the standard mode. There is a hardcore mode, which basically just makes the pieces drop faster. There is a, I forget the names of it, but it's, I think, raid mode. You only get 40 pieces.
Oh, that's weird.
Total. And you have to, like, the achievement, I think, is like 25,000. So you got to plan well for that one. And then the last mode is Fixate, I believe is the name, where you cannot rotate any pieces.
Oh, that's dirty.
That was the hardest achievement to get for me.
That's dirty.
To get, I think, 50,000 in that mode, because it's all random. It all comes down to luck and hoping you don't get screwed on pieces, which you will.
Yeah.
You very clearly will.
Obviously.
The game, it requires a lot more strategy to play, or to quote our world famous president, strategery.
Oh, Jesus.
It requires a lot of strategy, but also can require no strategy, because if you make one clear that you didn't intend, it will fuck your world up. And not necessarily in a bad way, it just ruins whatever plans you had.
Understood.
So some of the other twists to the formula in this is it does not have a hold option.
Yeah, so I noticed
no
that.
Like save a piece for later. There are a handful of odd pieces, like instead of the standard four square Tetris blocks, there are some 5-block pieces, like a kind of a Z shape or a plus shape. So there are some odd pieces thrown in there that people have whined and complained about, but, you know, that's what differentiates it from Tetris.
Right.
Some of the other complaints I've seen from people, it didn't really affect me much because I played Tetris on the original Game Boy, but the complaint is that the pieces stick too quickly.
Oh, so like you can't like bounce them out?
Yeah, like if it touches the piece, you have maybe half a second to move it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like it is a lot quicker than many Tetris or Tetris style games. I'll give it a, it is definitely quicker, but I was able to handle it. But people, again, you casual plebs, some people might have issues with it and feel that it's more difficult than it should be, which I can understand.
Tetris plebs.
But,
I'm in that category.
I'm a fucking Tetris god.
Yeah, you're good at it. So what do you think?
Someone called me out on that, and I'm like, listen, man, you do not fuck with me when it comes to Tetris.
You are good at Tetris.
$5, fuck yes, it's a buy.
Yeah.
I loved it. I got my 1,000 on it. It was when he patches it, the patch is live to add customizable controls. I will dive back in there to see how high I could get on the leaderboard. Because
cool.
I'm eager to see how much better I could get than 6th. Then again, it's been out for like a week now, so I might be further down from 6th place than
Looks
I was.
Looks like you'll have to find out.
Indeed. All right, next game is called Mutant Muds Super Challenge. This is developed by Renegade Kid, published by Nighthawk Interactive. It released July 26th on the PS4 and the Vita for $9.99, and it is a cross-buy title. You might know the Mutant Muds series from multiple Nintendo platforms,
Wii U,
3DS. The Super Challenge is exactly what the name says. There's not much of a story to this game. There's not much of a campaign. It is just 40 new levels of fuck you platforming.
Fuck you platforming.
They, like, the Super Challenge, they are not fucking around. The first time you die in the game, it just, a death counter pops up on the screen. It just goes one. And you're like, God damn it. This is going to be
rough. That's hysterical.
The first level, I think I died over 20 times.
What?
Again, this is not like a standard Mutant Muds game. This is not like the original where it eases you into things so you could learn the mechanics. This game fully expects you to have played the previous Mutant Muds games and mastered them. Like, mastered the different, like in the normal Mutant Muds games, you can eventually unlock, you know, a boost jump or a stronger gun to open up hidden areas, or that you can hover longer. All that stuff is unlocked from the beginning in this one.
So what you're saying is this is the equivalent of Mutant Muds Lost Levels.
Basically.
Okay.
This game is brutally difficult, and it relishes the fact that it is brutally difficult. And I'm still that dickhead who goes through, and I need to collect all 100 coins in every level.
Of course you are, Joe.
Hey, I've been doing it. It takes me quite a while, but I've been doing it.
I would be disappointed if you didn't. You know what I mean?
I've had to kill myself and start over so many times because I've missed like one coin. Oh. And I accidentally jumped on the screen shifting block, because the Mutant Muds games, they originated on the 3DS with the 3D effect, where you would jump from the front to the back to further, like they would have different planes that the game takes place on.
Which it still does.
Yeah. It's just you don't get the 3D effect. Right. And which I'm shocked, because the PS4 can play 3D games. I'm kind of surprised they didn't add 3D support to it.
Well, who knows?
I didn't even think. I should have. Yeah, fuck that. This game's a deny it. They didn't. No, I think it'd be cool to add 3D support, but clearly it's not a high priority anymore. But, you know, that if you jump on one of those plane shifting panels, you usually can't get back to where you were. So if you miss a coin, you fucked yourself. Yeah. If you have enjoyed the previous Mutant Muds games and you want to challenge yourself, this is a buy it. If you're not that sure, or you're scared to get your ass handed to you, it's a deny it. It just comes down to what kind of a gamer you are. So we'll meet in the middle with a try it.
Well, there you go.
I copped out and picked all three.
That I've never heard that be done before.
If you are not, this game is for retro gamers who can handle a brutally difficult game. If you have never played a Mutant Muds game before, do not start with Super Challenge. Just don't. It's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be very, very bad. So yeah, give it a try. Otherwise, it's really good stuff, but it is difficult, and it is not shy about the fact, because it's in the name, Super Challenge. Okay. All right, next game is called Three Souls. It is developed and published by Red Column. It released July 28th on the Wii U for $390. It is planned to be an episodic series, and this is episode one. Nalesa, I believe, is the name. You start off in a cell, and you have to make your way out and progress through the game. It is a puzzle platformer, and it is one of those very rare games that actually uses the Wii U gamepad to its full extent.
Hawa.
Get this. You need to play with the TV and the gamepad.
That's awesome.
None of this just off the gamepad play, like most Wii U games where you can just hit, I just want to play on the screen, and then never use the TV. The main gameplay happens on the TV, but there are plenty of tiny little tasks that you have to do on the gamepad. For example, there are jumps that you need to do that you clearly can't jump up there, but there's a fan on the ground. So you stand on the fan, and then you connect to it by hitting the button on the gamepad, and you blow into the fan on the gamepad screen, or the microphone, technically, and it activates the fan and shoots you up.
That's awesome.
Or there's a plaque that you need to read, but it's dusty, so you connect the button on the gamepad, and then you wipe off the plaque on the screen, and it shows you, like, a secret path that you gotta go, or a hidden area, or the proper way you gotta go. Another area, there's more jumps that you just, there's no way to get up to an area, but there's a security camera on the wall. So you go over and you connect to the camera, and then you hold the pad up and you have to physically move left and right until you could see the screen, because it uses the gyroscope, and it'll show you hidden platforms that you can't see on the TV.
All right.
So all the different uses of the gamepad are really, really cool, but they get to be a bit much. Like, the first couple of times I did the whole camera thing, it's like, oh, this is cool. But then if you, like, depending on where you're holding the gamepad.
Oh, when it initiates.
Like, I might have to turn around behind me to see the goddamn camera image.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
So you have to, like, exit out and then spin back around and, like, try a different position and connect again and then try it and hope it works out better. The having to connect to whatever's on the screen each time gets kind of old as well. Like, just let me stand on the fan and blow in my microphone instead of connect and then blow, or connect and then wipe off the screen.
Okay.
Connect and then turn around. Which is that connecting, it just, like, slows things down. The game itself, the levels, beautiful hand-drawn levels, looks great. The character is pixel art, looks really good. It just, you know, the platforming is good, the puzzles are good. It just, it seems to draw things out longer than it should.
Okay. Just not as focused.
It's asking too much, I guess.
Okay.
Like, it just gets overbearing with the, hey, do this on your screen. Hey, do this on the gamepad. Hey, do this now. It's like, just let me fucking jump. And then this is going to be one of those games where I don't like the fact that there's limited lives.
So what happens do you just start the whole thing over?
Well, when you run out of your lives, it starts that entire chapter over. Which sometimes it's not that bad because you might have died in the beginning of the chapter. But if you get a decent way through it and then you run out of your lives and you got to start over, like, a lot of the puzzles in the game don't activate until you connect to a certain thing. Like the plaques that you got to dust off, they'll show you hidden paths, but those won't open up until you check the plaque and wipe it off. So you can't just go to where you need to go. You have to go to the plaque, you have to wipe it off, and then you have to go to where you gotta go.
That's kind of strange.
I mean, I can understand so people don't just, like, mistake their way through the game, but I don't know. It's a really, really cool game, and the fact that it's part of a trilogy, maybe they'll address some of the complaints that they're hearing with this and make it a more focused and more streamlined experience for the second game. As it stands, it's a fun game. For $4, I'm going to give it a try, because it's a cool game to check out, and it's great to see companies who are still taking risks with the Wii U and doing something unique with it. But they need to focus more for the next episode.
Makes sense.
So I'm giving it a try. If you got $4 sitting on your Wii U account, what else are you going to get? That was really dickish to say.
That was kind of dickish to say.
The game is fun, though. Again, I just hope that it's more focused when episode 2 comes out, because I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
Only time will tell.
Indeed. All right, next game. We will let you handle the next one. It is called Shattered Skies, and this is another email in from CJ Greenwood. This game is developed and published by Free Rein Entertainment. It released July 21st on Steam for $24.99 for the basic edition of the game, which includes 100 global vault storage slots. There is a gold edition for $34.99 with 250 storage slots, 25,000 XP bonus, and a care package. A platinum edition for $59.99 with 500 storage, 50,000 XP bonus, care package, and a Brotherhood of Chaos cosmetic set. And then an ultimate edition for $79.99 with 1,000 storage, 150,000 XP bonus, care package, Brotherhood of Chaos cosmetic set, Dominion Legion cosmetic set, and a gold name tag in chat. God damn, that's a lot of options.
Yeah.
Hey, I gotta be thorough.
Hey, I understand.
So, tell us, what did CJ think of the game?
Well, Shattered Skies is a first or third person PvP shooter set in a huge free roam world. I do like that they allow you to switch between first and third person by pressing C, as it allows you to play the style that you like to. Although I will say that the third person is much better and gives an edge in this game. I like being able to look around corners without poking your head out or staying hidden better while watching other players. The graphics are very well done and look mostly realistic, with only a few places that have buggy grass that floats above the ground. Be warned, though, your PC will need to be somewhat good to even play the game on lower settings, so if you are running an older computer, this game isn't for you.
And now you can see why I didn't handle this game.
Yeah, and I was gone for, like, days, so I would have given it a shot, but I just didn't have the time. The only thing graphically they could change to look better is to make more alien models textures, because there are currently only two different skins for the aliens. Speaking of aliens, which is the only PvE section of the game, although a very small part of the overall game, they are pretty annoying as they spawn randomly and almost always right next to you. And they are also bullet sponges for low-level players, making them a nuisance that I'd rather just run away from than waste a couple of magazines on when there's so little ammo. The devs do make it clear, though, that this game is not meant to focus on PvE, and the only purpose of the aliens, the only purpose the aliens provide is a means to get XP to level up. The level progression system is alright. It doesn't take too long to level up to a decent level if you can manage to kill aliens and enemy players. My only problem with it is that you can buy level 25 for $79.99, as well as the other perks, which I will talk about later, which you technically kind of covered briefly.
Yeah.
Luckily, they did update the game to now have servers that are level-based, which means no being one-shot by a level 30 when you're level 3.
Well, that's
good. The servers range from 1 to 14 and from 15 to 100. Although I'm not sure why there isn't more breaks in the level system, as a level 15 versus level 100 seems to be a bit unfair.
Yeah, just a smidge.
The most fun I had with the game was just listening to some of the oddballs talking in chat. The community does seem to be overall good and active, with a lot of fun being had. At one point, I respawned after being killed and someone else spawned in for what seemed like their first time. They had a strong accent, so obviously people flocked to them because they found him interesting. Either way, this guy used that to his advantage by asking for free guns from them, and they just gave it to him, so good on him. I found it absolutely hilarious that he could just convince people to give him free stuff. Another moment I had was interesting as well. I was sitting behind a tree watching some people kill others, and I was just waiting because I had to get past them, but I didn't want their attention. When out of nowhere, I hear footsteps and a guy comes up behind me and says, "boo" into his mic. He scared the hell out of
me. Oh, my God.
He scared the hell out of me. I turned around to shoot, but I noticed him just start walking away, so I let him live instead. He got shot a few seconds later by the guys I was watching. Probably should have warned him about them.
That's amazing.
Later, I got to try the game out with a friend, which seemed like the way the game is meant to be played. It was pretty painless to invite him to a group and get everything set up to play together, which was nice. It really sucks when a game that is meant to be played with others is hard to set up. Him and I walked around slowly, picking up every item we could, making use of guns, food, water, and ammo. Sneaking away whenever someone saw us and we killed whoever we could sneak up on.
Type in.
It was an enjoyable experience with friends. There are a few things that I disliked, however. For instance, you have to pick up everything to use. You don't spawn in with guns. You have to find everything, which is the style of game, and all games in this genre have the same system. It is highly annoying, though, to lose everything whenever you die, especially after spending 30-plus minutes finding everything that you could to make you extremely powerful, just to give up all of that work to the guy that kills you. I do understand that it is the way that the game is intended to work, so it is somewhat my fault for not expecting this when other games in the genre also do this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the other thing that I'm not a fan of, the pricing system. You can get the starter edition for...
That I went on about earlier.
You can get the starter edition for $24.99, which gives you the game, 100 global vault slots, a safe place to store items so you don't lose them if you die. Alternatively, you can get the better editions of the game, which give you better bonuses, which you already pretty much went through. Yeah, I just skimmed through. It's pretty much everything that you said. Honestly, the price scheme... does seem a little ridiculous. Paying nearly $80 to become a level 25 immediately shouldn't be a feature.
True.
This is the type of pricing that you would expect out of a free-to-play game, although it could work out better if it was. Keep all the packs it already has, but introduce a free package that maybe has 25 or 50 global vault slots and nothing else. Might encourage people to want to buy the better upgrades if they like the game enough. Of course, that is ultimately up to them, and I highly doubt it would happen. Overall, I would say to try it. There are a lot of people who genuinely enjoy the game. You'd be surprised how many people I saw paying the $80 because they just liked the game that much. Personally, I felt that it had its moments, but for the most part, I wasn't thrilled. The devs do show promise, though, with frequent updates that made me enjoy the game a bit more than initially.
So it seems like it has some issues, but if the game clicks with you, you're probably going to be one of the people to drop the $80 and just go nuts with it.
It's very possible. I know a few people that would probably do that, actually.
And hey, as long as the devs keep updating it and addressing issues and whatever else, fucking rock on.
Yeah, right? I agree.
So, a try it for Shattered Skies. Sounds good to me.
What is next?
Next up is called Overcooked, developed by Ghost Town Games, published by Team 17. It released August 3rd for $16.99, so it is out right now. It actually has a launch discount for like... 14 and change or something like that. This is a cooking game, kind of?
Question mark?
It's like a cooking party game. Kind of like Diner Dash, something like
that. But with multiple people, right?
Yes, up to 4 players. You can play it single player, but the game is significantly easier multiplayer, although the requirements for the gold stars does increase depending on how many people you have.
Oh, wow.
You are given, well, storyline wise, you have to make food for like the demon who is fronting the apocalypse, which is fucking hilarious that's how the game starts out. And then like 2 minutes into the level, it's like, you're not good enough to handle this. And he warps you back in time to like 1993.
What?
It's like, it's time for you to train so you can prepare for the apocalypse. It is ridiculous. ridiculous. The fact that they have a story like this in this game is hilarious. And it just leads to how ridiculously goofy and fun the game is.
It does look like a lot of fun.
The gameplay is, it gives you a recipe and you have to make the food. So say, you know, you start off with like tomato soup and it requires 3 tomatoes to serve. So you get a tomato, you chop it up, you put it in the pot, you get a tomato, you chop it up, you put it in the pot. Get a tomato, chop it up, put it in the pot. The whole time the soup is cooking, and you have to make sure it doesn't overcook. Heck yeah. Once the soup is done, you pour it in a bowl and you serve it. Sounds easy enough, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
But orders keep coming in. And again, it starts off easy enough where you'll just get a bunch of tomato soup orders. Stages go on, then you get like tomato soup, mushroom soup, onion soup. So you have to manage which soups you're making. You'll have multiple stoves, multiple cooking and prep stations. You'll have to deal with dirty dishes and wash them and get ready to serve new ones. And then, oh, here come burgers. So you're going to have to set buns out on the plates. You're going to have to pound the meat and then cook the meat. And then put it on the buns. Some of them might need tomatoes. Some of them might need lettuce. Some of them might need both. You have to serve them. And then, of course, you got to clean the dirty dishes again. And then they'll throw in goofy stages. Like, you have to prep between 2 trucks on a highway.
Yeah, I was just looking at that level.
The trucks can and will drift apart. So if you're on the one end and your meat is cooking on the other end, and it starts burning and the trucks aren't near each other, you better hope you could get over there before it catches on fire. Because if it catches on fire, then you got to get the fire extinguisher. You got to put out the fire, hope it doesn't spread, contain it, junk your food, and start all over.
Yep. It's Diner Dash with people.
If you prepare the food fast enough, you'll get a tip. Based on how quick it was done, which goes toward, you know, you earn a set amount per order you fulfill. If you take too long, the order fails and you lose money.
Yep.
So you gotta be quick enough. I played it alone and it was hectic because, like, you can switch between that. You have 2 chefs that you can switch between with the bumpers. So if one's chopping food, you can use the other one to, like, you know, run a dish somewhere or whatever else. But it's still difficult because you can only control one at a time.
Can I ask you this?
For the most part.
If you have one other player, can they control another so that you would have 4 total?
No.
That's annoying.
Then instead of you controlling, you know, if you have multiple players, each player is their own chef.
That's dumb.
Technically, if you're really, really amazingly coordinated, there is a way that you could set it up for 2 players to play on a single controller.
What?
Where each analog stick moves a chef.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you use the bumpers and the triggers to pick up items and to do the actions. So if you are coordinated enough,
I'd be interested like to try that. Like some
kind of
idiot
savant. You can technically do 2 players on 1 controller.
I would be interested to try that.
The game is, again, ridiculously funny, ridiculously fun. I am curious to see how many divorces and shattered friendships this game will create. God. It's a blast. So I'm giving this one a buy it.
And it's
prepared to get frustrated, though. Yeah. So it's exciting to see Team 17 supporting all these crazy games that are coming out. And believe it or not, the game was made by 2 people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Ghost Town Games is 2 people. I was watching a stream. Team 17 was actually streaming the game before we recorded. And Ghost Town Games was in the chat. And they're like, yeah, we're 2 people who made the game in my living room. So fucking rock on. Support that game. Give them your
That's
money.
Awesome.
And buy it.
It's on my wish list.
All right. Next game is called Shiren the Wanderer, the Tower of Fortune, and the Dice of Fate. How's that for a name?
Yeah. When you sent the list over, I was like, holy shit, this title's still going?
say like Three Souls, Overcooked, Abzu, and then Shirin the Wanderer, the Tower of Fortune, and the Dice of Fate.
Yeah, it took up three lines in your Facebook message.
Developed by Spike Chunsoft, published by Axis Games. It released July 26th on the PlayStation Vita for $39.99.
Oh my god, it's a Vita game.
Yeah, I told you we had one.
Oh, yeah.
This is a continuation of the Shirin the Wanderer series. I hope I'm saying it right. It might be Shirin. One of them.
Tomato potato.
Tomato potato. Oh, man. Yeah, so it is an old school roguelike. This is like classic old school, not like the modern roguelikes where you have carryover stuff and like this is hardcore roguelike.
Yeah.
Not roguelite. That's the phrase they like to use nowadays. You arrive in a town and there's a sick woman and the boy is going to run off to a tower to change fate and save her life. And that's about as in-depth as the story gets. It's not really about the story. It's more about the gameplay. The gameplay is going through dungeons, leveling up, grinding, leveling up, getting through the dungeons, and hoping you don't die. Because if you die, everything resets. You lose your money, you lose your items, you lose everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everything. And because it's a roguelike, once you complete a dungeon, you still go back to level one. Every dungeon you complete and every dungeon you start at level one. Yeah.
Hey. It's a roguelike.
So you... To help out, they do have items in the game, which basically you gain XP just by moving, which is helpful. And potatoes meowing all loud at the door, like a pain in the ass. So it helps you level up faster, but a lot of the later dungeons in the game are going to require a lot of grinding. And this is grinding the video game. There is a lot of grinding that you're going to have to do in this game. You know that I don't have a problem with grinding, and I like the mindless grind every now and then.
Yeah.
It is a kick in the balls, though, to grind and grind and grind and lose because the dungeon is randomized in a way that just kind of screws you, where you'll be fighting something, and then four other enemies just come out of nowhere and surround you.
That's...
It because again, it's a roguelike, so every dungeon is completely randomized. So you were at the mercy of RNGs in hoping that you get a decent dungeon layout, decent item drops, decent monster placement and everything else, trap placement. The traps in this game are a motherfucker. Like there's strip traps that just you step over it and it removes all your equipment. Like you motherfucker. So you have to go in, you have to waste a turn re-equipping a sword, waste a turn re-equipping your armor, waste a turn re-equipping your ring, and every turn that you move or do anything, the monsters move. So if there's a monster close by and you hit that strip trap, you might only be able to pick between equipping a weapon and equipping armor.
That sucks.
You gotta flip a coin. I mean, there are tons of different items in the game that could help you out, like different magic wands that you can use that'll like warp enemies to the end of a level that are just waiting at the steps for you, or they can confuse them, force them to run away, stuff like that, put them to sleep. There's dozens and dozens of different weapons and effects. There's ways that if you have a certain sword and a certain bit of armor, they might combine to have a special effect. Like the one I've been using gives you a strength bonus. There was an earlier combination I had that would allow me to equip a second ring, which was helpful. Just tons of different modifiers that you can experience through the game. And because there's so much going on, they have a very in-depth tutorial section in the game. Some people might think it's a bit too in-depth. There's like 50 training dungeons.
Okay. That's a lot.
Where each one is like, this one will teach you how to move. This one will teach you how to equip things. This one will teach you how to attack around corners. This one will teach you how to throw stones at enemies over wall. It's like, it is super in depth, but to a fault, kind of.
Okay.
Where after I did like 15 of them, I'm fuck this. I just want to play a dungeon. So I just went on with the story. The game is fun though. There's limited kind of like online interaction where you're not teaming up with people, but I fell, like I died in a dungeon and I could either warp back and like start over from scratch for the most part because you lose your items, your equipment, any of the food you were carrying, because of course you have to manage your hunger as well. Or you can wait and hope that one of your friends who has the game will come rescue you.
Oh.
And you can continue on from where you died.
That's interesting.
So after I died, I kind of took a break, and I meant to check it earlier today to see if I got revived. If not, just gonna suck it up and go back. the game is fun, but it is going to be a slog of a grind. If you're like, history with roguelikes is like the Pokemon Ranger games, this might be a bit too hardcore for you, but if you know what you're getting into and you're prepared to accept the hardcore grind of a traditional old school roguelike, you'll dig this game. So I'm giving it a try.
Cool.
All right. Let's see. We covered that one. Covered the two more. That's all. Just fucking two more. These are going to be quicker ones though, because we technically did the interviews last week, but I still like to, when we do an interview for the game, I still like to give it an official like stamp of approval.
Yeah.
So first up is Riptide GP Renegade, developed and published by Vector Unit. Released July 26th on Steam and PS4 for $14.99. Apple TV and Nvidia Shield released August 2nd for $9.99. And then it is still coming in the future for the Xbox One, Windows 10, and iOS, probably by the end of the month. Windows 10, though, as we discussed in the interview, might be delayed a little bit further if they are able to implement the cross-buy, which would be neat. If you've played any of the Riptide games, you know what to expect, although this time it has a cool post-apocalyptic storyline and some crazy post-apocalyptic stages, like an underground or like an underwater flooded city, futuristic style levels. It's really, really cool game. If you haven't listened to our interview, go back and listen to episode 208 to hear more about it. As it stands, for $15, if you own a PS4 or Steam, definitely worth picking up. Xbox players, later this month, it's a buy it when it comes
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is going to scratch my itch for not getting a Jet Moto game in fucking forever.
Yeah, the email earlier, the entry that didn't win, sorry, Daniel, he nailed it by saying SSX meets Jet Moto.
Yeah, it is very much so that.
And that's... I really like the addition of the point-to-point races instead of just laps, because mm-hmm. they allow you to do crazier stuff in the game. Again, go back and listen to episode 208 and check out the interview. And you can even hear about the big head mode that's in the game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he told me, like, I suggested, are you going to put anything crazy like big head mode in the game? He's like, it's in the game. I'm like, motherfucker, how? He told me the code on the show. So, Chris, you might like that episode.
I would.
And then finally, also from episode 208, we talked with Alex Preston of Heart Machine and their game Hyper Light Drifter. It released July 26th for $19.99. This is kind of like the original Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
Like the top-down adventure game, action-adventure. Mm-hmm. Beautiful pixel graphics, gorgeous visuals, gorgeous soundtrack from Disaster Piece. It is just an awesome, incredible game. It's great combat in the game, a lot of fluid combat and power-ups that you could get in the game, a lot of exploration, hidden areas, off the beaten path stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh my god, it's so
Yeah, weird. No, I think the art style is really, really cool.
I was telling him, like, the images of the gigantic titan beasts or creatures, whatever they are, the first time I saw it in the game, it, like, legit creeped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some pretty interesting stuff in here.
It is such a fantastic game. This is going to be a good one for the year. Yes. So definitely a buy it on this one. Again, those are just brief reviews because we did interviews with them already.
Yeah. So go check out the interviews.
Check out episode 208 and then check out episode 209, which you're doing right now, to hear our reviews on them, which you just heard.
Redundancy. It's like one of my favorite things ever.
Oh, man. Crazy, 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 crazy. I don't know. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about? What have you been playing?
I have not really been playing much. I did some Hearthstone. I did some Full Mojo Rampage. And
still having fun with that?
Yeah. I go back. I play it every once in a while. That's like my sit down and like waste maybe 5 or 10 minutes game. Patiently waiting for season 7 for Diablo to start. I can level up another character.
Didn't they just put out a new patch?
They just put out a new patch today. 2.4.2, I think. New difficulty levels, some new items. Standard Diablo content patch. So, check it out. There's some interesting stuff there. They're always constantly changing the game. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There is never a bad time to get into Diablo ever since they fixed a lot of the glaring problems with the game. So if you still haven't checked out or really given a fair shot into Diablo, you should play it because it's fucking awesome. So it's one of my favorite games. And nice. And I'll go ahead and I'll end the episode from my standpoint with this little bit of news. I don't think I covered this because I haven't really been talking a lot of Diablo recently, but there were promotional things that were given out to certain streamers for in lieu of the upcoming BlizzCon. And they had these, like, you know, just trinkets and items and whatnot just to kind of, like, make things, you know, just promotional, whatever, like some loot boxes. And one of the items... they had one item in the box for each of their IPs. So they had a thing for Hearthstone, they had a thing for WoW, they had a thing for Heroes of the Storm, all that kind of stuff. So their thing for Diablo was a bag of dice. And of these dice, it was like standard playing dice, you know, for a D&D group. So you have your D20, you have your D10, your 10 percentile, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they had a D4. And the interesting thing about the D4 is it's not...
Oh, God.
It's not printed properly. What I mean by that is when you look at a D4, it's basically a pyramid, okay? So when it's resting, all of the numbers on the bottom will correspond with, you know, whatever number that's rolled. So, like, if you roll it, all three of the sides... will have a 1 that's like facing upright, or all three of the sides would have a 2 where they're all facing upright. So this was a D4. Like it's technically a D3, but they put the 4 on it. Like they put a 4 on 2 of the sides. So I don't think they would go through all of the trouble of making, what, a couple thousand of these and have a printing error on just one of the dice. And they've been dropping hints, like, with a lot of other stuff for new IPs. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to throw my hat into the ring and say that a D4 will probably get announced at BlizzCon this year.
Diablo 4 confirmed 2017.
I think so. I'm just saying, because There have not been any kind of major content changes. I think Diablo 3 is already pretty much at the point where they're going to want it to be. I think they're going to start transitioning into upkeep mode as opposed to constantly like generating new content for the game. And there's been a lot of other sources that point towards the direction of another IP. So, yeah, I if you want to do some more research, go ahead and like Riker's got a good video on explaining why he thinks that there's going to be another one. I feel the same exact way. So just do a couple Google searches. I'm sure you could find D4 conspiracy theories. But
and email us your thoughts at the smlpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, yeah. I would be very curious to see what other people think about the possibility of it happening. I'm going to go ahead and say that I am 93% certain.
You're not going to go to 94%?
No, I'm going to go to 93.666 repeating.
Oh, man. On that note, I guess we could wrap things up. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the SML Podcast. We are on Facebook. We are on the Twitches, which we haven't used in a while because we haven't really had any interview episodes.
Something like that.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter. Stay up to date with all the contests that we're doing. You just heard us give away 3 games today. And given our SML 200 contest, you never know when we're going to have big shit to give away.
Just drop some bombs every once in a while.
We could. Probably not, but we could.
You never know. You got to keep listening.
Make sure to stay tuned. Next week, we are going to have some more big reviews, including, like I mentioned, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games. Headlander from Double Fine will be covering. And Slain, Back from Hell. Remember, Digirati Distribution was on, and they said Slain on Steam had a pretty rough launch. Yeah. It just went through a relaunch, and I've been playing through it, and it seems a lot of fun. I'm having fun. I guess whatever was wrong has been addressed. So I'm eager to get more time in with that. And maybe we could get Nick back on the show sometime.
We shall see.
Trying. Music this week, we are going to celebrate the 5th anniversary of the Bad Dudes Metroid album because it is also the 30th anniversary of Metroid.
Well, that's timing, right?
So, yeah, let's rock out to some Bad Dudes, Metroid music, and,
final words are play more Diablo.